Have you ever walked onto a ramp and genuinely lost count of the warbirds? I mean actually lost count, because there are so many rare, flying, immaculate World War II fighters and bombers parked wingtip to wingtip that your brain just gives up trying to catalogue them all. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar, and I need to tell you about warbirds over the beach. This is the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I am not kidding when I say this place is one of the best-kept secrets in American aviation. If you have never been here, put it on your list right now. I don't care where you live, it is worth the flight. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let me set the scene for you. You fly into Virginia Beach. The museum sits on its own grass airfield, a beautiful turf strip right there on the property at Pungo. You taxi in, and the first thing you see is a row of hangars that look like they were transplanted from 1943 England. I mean actual period-correct architecture. Brick, steel, glass. These hangars were designed to look like wartime dispersal buildings, and they are gorgeous, but that is just the container. What is inside those hangars will stop you in your tracks. A Supermarine Spitfire, a Hawker Hurricane, a Messerschmitt, 109, a Focke Wulf 190, a de Havilland Tiger Moth, a North American T-6, a Fieseler Storch. I could keep going. I could keep going for a long time. This museum has over 70 aircraft, and the thing that separates it from almost every other collection in the world is that nearly all of them fly. These are not static displays behind velvet ropes. These are living, breathing, flying machines, and when warbirds over the beach happens, they put them in the air. The show typically runs in the spring, and the energy on that field is completely different from a big military air show. There are no F-16 demo teams here, no wall of fire pyrotechnics. This is pure. This is the sound of Merlins and radials and inline engines from 6 or 7 different countries all warming up on a grass field with the Virginia coast in the background. I want you to hear what I heard the first time I walked this ramp. You come around the corner of one of those beautiful hangars, and there is a Polikarpov I-16 sitting there. A Soviet monoplane fighter from the 1930s. Where else are you going to see one of those? It is tiny. It looks like a toy next to the American fighters. The fuselage is round and stubby, and the landing gear is fixed, and the whole airplane looks like something out of a history book that should not exist in 3 dimensions any more. But it does, and it flies, and then 10 feet away there's a Hawker Sea Fury, one of the fastest piston engine fighters ever built, that massive Bristol Centaurus radial engine hanging off the front of it. 18 cylinders of absolute fury. When that thing starts up, you feel it in your chest before you hear it with your ears. The man behind all of this was Gerald Yagin, and his story is one of those only in America aviation tales that you almost cannot believe. Yagin built a successful business in the heating and air conditioning industry, made his money the hard way. And then he started collecting airplanes, not just any airplanes, rare ones, the ones that nobody else could find or nobody else would take on the restoration challenge to I talked to one of the volunteer docents at the museum during the show. Retired Navy. Spent 30 years around military aviation. He told me he had seen a lot of collections around the world, and this one was special because of the depth of the European aircraft. That is the thing. Most warbird collections in the United States are heavy on American types. P-51 Mustangs, Corsairs, B-25s, and those are incredible. But the Military Aviation Museum went after the aircraft that Americans almost never get to see fly. A Messerschmitt 109. Think about that. How many flyable 109s exist in the world? You can count them without using all your fingers. And one of them lives in Virginia Beach and flies at this air show a Focke Wulf 190, the butcher bird, the fighter that shocked the Royal Air Force when it showed up over the English Channel in 1941 and outperformed everything the British had. Standing next to one of these on the grass at Pungo, you can see why it was so effective. The radial nose is compact and aggressive. The lines are clean. It looks fast just sitting still. And then there is the British collection. Spitfire alone is worth the trip. I do not care how many times you have seen a Spitfire in photographs or in movies. When one rolls inverted over your head at 200 feet with that Merlin engine singing, it does something to you. It just does. Every single person on that field stops talking. Kids freeze. Veterans salute. It is one of those universal moments in aviation where the machine and the history and the sound all hit you at once. But here is what really got me. It was between flying demonstrations. The crowd had thinned out a little near one of the back hangars, and there was a mechanic, just a guy in coveralls, sitting on an overturned bucket next to a steerman, eating a sandwich. I walked over and asked him how long he had been working on these airplanes. He looked at me like it was a strange question and said, "Almost 20 years." 20 years. This man had been keeping these machines alive for 2 decades. I asked him which one was his favourite, and he pointed at the steerman and said, "This one, because she is honest. His words, she is honest. She does not pretend to be anything she is not. You pull the stick, she responds. No computers, no hydraulic boost, just you and the airplane and the wind. That is the soul of this place. Behind every one of these 70-plus aircraft is a team of people who have dedicated years, sometimes decades, to keeping history in the air. The restoration work is museum quality. The paint schemes are researched down to the individual squadron markings. The interiors are period correct. These are not replicas. These are not approximations. These are the real thing, maintained to the highest possible standard, and flown by pilots who understand what they are carrying every time they advance the throttle. The flying demonstrations at Warbirds Over the Beach are choreographed, but not overproduced. You will see a Spitfire and a Messerschmitt fly together. Opponents in the skies over Europe 80 years ago, now sharing the same patch of Virginia sky. There is something powerful about that, something that goes beyond the machines themselves. And the sound, oh, the sound, I need to talk about the sound. When you have a Merlin, a Centaurus, a BMW 801 radial, and an Allison V1710 all running on the same field within the span of an hour, you start to hear the differences. Each engine has its own voice. The Merlin has that unmistakable high-pitched wail. The big radials have that deep chest-thumping rumble. The Allison is smoother, almost silky, compared to the Merlin. You close your eyes and you can identify each airplane by engine note alone. That is not something you get watching videos on a screen. That is a ramp experience. That is why you go. The field itself adds to the atmosphere. This is a grass strip. Tail-draggers rolling on turf. Dust kicking up behind the wheels. It feels authentic in a way that concrete ramps just cannot replicate. When a Storch lifts off that grass in about 50 feet of ground roll, nearly going vertical, the crowd gasps every single time. That little German liaison airplane can do things that seem physically impossible. It just hangs in the air at walking speed with those massive flaps deployed, and you swear it is about to fall out of the sky, and it just keeps flying. The museum also covers World War I. They have a collection of flyable Great War replicas and originals that is genuinely world-class Fokker triplanes, Sopwith Camels, Nieuports, watching those wire and fabric fighters putter around the pattern at 50 miles an hour with the modern Virginia Beach skyline in the background is surreal. It is like someone opened a portal in time and these little airplanes just flew through it. If you are planning to fly in, and you should absolutely fly in, the experience of landing on that turf strip surrounded by warbirds is something you will remember forever. Check the museum's website and the notice to air missions for the event. They coordinate the arrivals, and the volunteers who marshal you in are fantastic. You will get parked, and then you will not want to leave. I met a family that had flown down from Pennsylvania in a Cherokee 180. Dad was a private pilot, maybe 200 hours, two kids in the back seat, ages 8 and 12. The 12-year-old was carrying a notebook and sketching every airplane she saw. Not on a tablet, a notebook with a pencil. Her dad told me she had already decided she was going to be a restoration mechanic. Not a pilot, a mechanic. She wanted to fix the old ones. She wanted to keep them flying. That is what this place does. It does not just show you history, it makes you want to be part of it. The vendor area is small compared to the big shows, but it is curated. You will find warbird art, historical books, model kits, and a few specialty shops that cater to the restoration community. The food is typical airshow fare, but there is a barbecue set up near the World War I hangars that is genuinely excellent. Pulled pork sandwich, sweet tea, sitting on a bench next to a Fokker D-7. That is a pretty good afternoon. I want to make sure you understand the scale of what the Military Aviation Museum represents. This is not a government institution. This is not funded by the Smithsonian. This is a private collection built by one man's passion and maintained by a community of volunteers, mechanics, pilots, and historians who believe that these machines deserve to fly. That the sound of a Merlin engine is not a luxury. It is a necessity. It is the sound of memory, of sacrifice, of engineering brilliance under impossible pressure. And when it goes quiet, something irreplaceable is lost. Warbirds. Over the beach keeps it loud. Most of what I shared today comes from my own time on the ramp at Pungo and conversations with the museum staff and volunteers, with background from the Military Aviation Museum's own published history and Warbird Digest magazine's coverage of the event. You can find more about the show and the museum's collection at radiohangar.com. If you get the chance to go, go bring the kid who sketches airplanes, bring the friend who says they are not really into aviation. They will be by the time that Spitfire makes its first pass. I'm Ramp. See you on the ramp.